On the show today, we have Kino Mutual Group's very own Opal Tomaszewska talking about what multicultural consumers being the fastest growing population segment in the U.S. means to credit unions, and I think it means opportunity, and Opal tells you all about it here, so check it out. Hey everybody, Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. Welcome to our show, and on today's program, we have Kino Mutual Group's very own Opal Tomaszewska. I got the last name right, Opal.
Nice.
I love saying your last name. It's so cool.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Hey, we're talking today, and you are actually Kino Mutual Group's Director of Multicultural Center of Expertise.
Yes.
Wow, that's quite a title.
It is, indeed. My name wasn't long enough, so we had to give myself another long title.
So is your business card like about that big? You know,
it really is. And with the ketomutual.com email address, it can get pretty long.
Oh, boy. All right. Well, let's talk about the topic at hand here. What multicultural consumers being the fastest growing population segment in the U.S. means to credit unions these days. So having said that, there's, according to data from Kino Mutual Group, they account for 61% of new member growth at credit unions. Wow, that's a huge number. So what does that mean for credit unions? It sounds like opportunity for me, to me.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So it means that the growth area for credit unions and really any industry right now is coming from multicultural consumers.
Really? Okay.
And then we also know that younger generations are more diverse as well. So you can't really talk about wanting to meet and reach millennials or Gen Z without thinking about reaching multicultural consumers as well, because these generations are going to be more racially and ethnically diverse as well.
Indeed. And so, yeah. And so, credit unions really need to, what exactly do they need to do? Obviously, fine tune their marketing messages, or what's the plan of action for credit unions here?
Yeah, I think the same thing we're doing, starting to look at the data, right? So okay. Understand that population change. And what we've seen is that product usage definitely differs by race and ethnicity too. Really does matter to credit unions and their businesses. So we published a study in 2018 called What Matters Now? Insights for Multicultural Consumers. And we found that there are differences in financial products that people own now, differences in what they're looking to own in the future.
Oh, really?
And then also differences in technology. So what channels people are using to even research these products before they're going to use them, and how they even feel about product ownership is different, and as well as the motivations behind those as well.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating the next, I don't know, 5-10 years or so, how things will evolve.
Absolutely.
And just, oh my gosh, and morph. So let's see, let's go to the next question here. So what would you recommend that credit unions take into consideration when looking at products and services they make available to members? I mean, obviously, again, this is going to evolve over time.
Absolutely. Yes, definitely evolve. And that's the thing I think we're ever done with, right? We're going to continue to evolve with consumers. So looking at accessibility is going to be huge too. And that can mean everything from where branches are located to the experiences that people have online and also mobile applications, and then making sure they're ADA compliant, and whether or not you even require a social security number to open accounts. So really looking through these different lenses of diversity to see if we're truly serving how the market is evolving. So I think that kind of that first step is really looking at your community and looking at your membership, and then kind of looking within as well. Look at your staff, look at your board of directors as well, and then see if those products and services match up with that community and that membership that you have now. Because as you talked about opportunity, the opportunity is to serve our membership better, but then also the folks who are not yet members,
right,
and serving them as well and seeing what products and services really line up as well.
Yeah, exactly. And this is kind of off the top of my head here, but based on your discussions with credit unions and other folks in the industry, are you hearing more and more about this topic, this conversation? Because I think it's going to become a lot more prevalent than what we're talking about right now. I think it's
absolutely more and more. As we said, we've been doing this for a couple of years now, but we are seeing more and more demand for credit unions just saying, hey, can we get the data? Number one, if they're one of our customers, and we can give them some data, and also kind of showing them kind of those free tools that are out there from the census and Brookings Institute to be able to really understand the community. But definitely, this has become a topic that was maybe novelty a little bit ago, and it's definitely becoming top of mind in the standard agenda. And we're a small but mighty team, and definitely busy. But it's great. It's really helping us reach more members and consumers in much better ways than we ever
did. Oh, no doubt. And I think credit unions would be very thankful for this information
as
well, because they're going to have to do it too. So
yes. Get
ready. Which is, it's all a good thing for sure. So,
absolutely.
And having said that, so what disparities do we see in different groups of consumers, and how are they served? And then how can credit unions play a role to eliminate these disparities?
Yeah, I think, well, first, just acknowledging, right, that there's differences and acknowledging who our members are, right? And taking a look at women, for instance, taking a look at people of color, taking a look at generational differences that we see. I think last year, just with the disparities that we saw from COVID-19, just really showing us that different things are impacting different communities differently. When we think about the economic impact, for example, we can drill all the way down and see that Hispanic women most impacted and needing unemployment claims for other people, and just seeing how that's been impacted by job loss is one thing there. And then just really looking at different levels of financial literacy, really looking at where there are, we have a tool that we use from New America where we can really look and see where there are financial deserts and who is in those spaces. And unfortunately, we see a lot of those predatory lenders who have come into that space. Yeah. So there's no banks, there's no credit unions, there's a huge diverse population within this zip code, and then there's a check cashing place, or there's a lender who is charging, you know, 349% interest rates on those things. And really, us, you know, starting to understand, like, there is a gap there, and how can we better serve that area, I think, is huge, because you name it, pretty much, you know, you ask what the differences are, you name it, we can find something everywhere that has been set up historically not as fair for certain communities as it is for others.
Yeah, I mean, you bring up a really good point there about the financial deserts, as you talked about, and man, that's a whole nother show altogether. And because, I mean, the payday lenders, they're going to serve those people, you know, if nobody else is, they're more than happy to do it. So creators might as well get in there and do what they do best. So yeah,
absolutely.
Gosh, that's such a hard thing to do. Anything else here to add? I mean, again, this is going to be a topic that's going to be percolating to the top more and more as the years go on. So anything else here to add, Opal?
I just think, as you know, when we talk about different populations and different segments, marketing comes to mind right away. And to really get, like, yes, we should have representation in our marketing materials. And that representation of different segments and different groups and communities should be authentic, and it should be real, and it should, you know, live and breathe what the credit union's mission is as well. But that also means, you know, having those right products and services, right? So it should be packaged well, it should reach the community that you have it designed for, but it should also be the right thing. And I think just really meeting our members and consumers where they are, and also just having it be something that is of service to the community, and really having that be something that is, you know, that's how credit unions were formed, right? To serve the underserved. And let's really start doing that. And I think I talked a little bit just about last year, but I think that also means, you know, understanding what's important to members and to consumers. And we can't ignore social justice issues at all anymore, right? That impacts every, you know, facet of someone's life, including their financial well-being. So people are looking to credit unions and other institutions to really stand with them in facing some of these things as well. So not being silent about those things, and really recognizing who you're serving and letting them know that they are of value to you. You see them, you appreciate them, and you're here to serve.
Yeah. And in return, the credit union will be valued as well, because
absolutely.
Transaction, you know, this is life we're talking about.
Absolutely. The loyalty we see across especially African American and Hispanic communities when a financial institution does go above and beyond, or does treat people well, it just continues for years and years, generation. And we see that word of mouth impact too, being better than any money you could have spent in marketing dollars.
That's right. That's nothing better. Word of mouth is nothing better, I tell you.
Nothing better. Hey,
before I let you go, Opal, you talked about data before. How important is the data here? Because we normally, when we talk data, we're talking fintech or technology or something like that. But in this case, we're talking data to really, I guess, really better serve these folks, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think it's one of the biggest thing it does is just allows you to myth bust, right? Yeah. We come in with biases and preconceived notions of who our credit union members are and what a good member looks like. And we really just have to start to really look at the data, get the truth, and see what products and services we need. Not the ones that we're, as leaders and board members, are assuming that people need, but actually listening to members and seeing what they need and how we can meet them and best serve. And again, that has huge business impact, but much more lasting community and generational wealth impact down the road if we get this right.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, Opal, I mean, it comes across that you're quite passionate about this. So it's good to have somebody like you in their corner, in our corner, and really addressing this. And again, you're going to be a very popular person here in the next few years. So we're going to be looking to you more and more for this information.
Awesome. It's an honor and a privilege, and it just feels full circle to be doing something that really does some good.
Yep. And it matters for sure. All right, Opal, I'm going to let you get back to work because you probably have a lot on your plate. So I want to keep you from it. Appreciate the time.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me.